I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in His blessed name, and on behalf of members of the session of this church, I want to greet every one of you a very, very happy and blessed New Year. May the Lord bless you, may the Lord strengthen you, and we pray that in the New Year, you will indeed be able to sense the empowering of God's the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will be great and mighty witnesses for Him, and so that you will also be able to live with joy and live with victory in the Lord Jesus. So we thank God that the Lord has led the session to adopt this theme for the year, and that is to know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, and we might add, being made conformable unto His death. Now my text this morning is Philippians chapter 3, so keep your finger at Philippians chapter 3. Many great saints of the faith, as I said at the Wash Night service, have this insatiable appetite to know the Lord better. They will hunger and they will thirst after the righteousness of the one true living God, and they want to know and to know more and more of the Lord. Now, one such person was, of course, the great Apostle Paul. As I mentioned at the Watch Night service, Paul saw the Lord Jesus Christ at least four times. These were mentioned in the Word of God, at least four times. Now, the first time was when he was on the road to Damascus, and there the Lord met with him. The Lord blinded him, converted him, and then called him into his service. That was the first time. The second time he saw the Lord was when he was in the city of Jerusalem. Yes, and there he knew very clearly, because the Lord told him that the Jews were not receptive to the gospel, and that the Gentiles were more receptive, and that he was going to be sent forth to minister to the Gentiles. So that was the second time he saw the Lord. Then the third time he saw the Lord was when he was in the city of Corinth. Remember, when we studied the book of Thessalonians, we came to a place where we realized that Paul was quite discouraged in the city of Corinth. After going to Athens, the Athenians were not receptive to the gospel, and he was quite discouraged when he came to the city of Corinth, because there was much opposition there. And the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him, and so, to encourage him. So that was the third time he saw the Lord. And then there was yet another time, and this time again in the city of Jerusalem. And this was after Paul's third missionary journey. And the Jews wanted to kill him, the religious leaders. They wanted to kill him. And the Lord said, "Don't worry, Paul. I'll save you, I'll preserve you, because you are going to be my witness in Rome." And Paul went to Rome. Yes, in the position of being a prisoner. All right, he was a prisoner, and he was brought to the city of Rome. Then you think of the close fellowship this great apostle had with the Lord, through the many times of communion with the Lord, through his prayer unto the Lord. Surely we say he must have known the Lord very, very closely. And yet he said, "That I may know him." He had known the Lord so much, and yet he said, "That I may know him, I must know him more and more." My question to all of us here this morning is, do we have this holy desire of wanting to know the Lord more and more? Or are we just very happy to muddle along and say, "All right, last year I reached this height, I'm very happy with it"? Or do we say, "No, Lord, I want to know more and more of you"? I hope that is our holy desire. That's why we have this theme this year, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now this morning I'd like us to consider three points. Point number one, the condition for knowing him. That's point number one. Point number two, the meaning of knowing him. Number three, knowing him with particular reference to the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So three points this morning. First of all, the condition for knowing him. Now the key for knowing him lies in Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. Please look at verse 9. Chapter 3 verse 9. And be found in him. Paul was speaking here. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Be found in him. Did you read those words? Be found in him. Friends, we must be found in him to know him. If you are outside of him, you can never know him. You must be in him. Now, we live in this complex. My wife and I live in this complex for about 5 years now. And in this complex, there is a heritage house. And we have always been very curious about this heritage house. We just wondered what this house was like. And then it looks, of course, quite and it has got an antique appearance. So we didn't know what was in there, and we were quite curious. And then this house was put up for sale just recently. And then there was a day where, as part of the selling process, there was an open house. And so my wife, like two busybodies, went into the house, to the place to have a look at the house, because we wanted to know what the house was like. And when we got in, we were very, very impressed. The house was really in very, very magnificent condition. The deco was good, the ceiling was high, everything about it was good. But friends, could we have known the inside of the house had we not gone into the house? If we had just stayed outside and looked at the house, we just could say that this was a heritage building. That was all. We could not know what was in there. But friends, we went in and we saw. Yes, we had to be in it to know what it was like. And of course, if you were to live in that house, then of course you would know that house. You see, so we must be in the house to know the house. Likewise, my dear friends, we must be in Christ to know Christ. Those outside of him do not know him. Now you remember Noah's ark. Think of those who were outside the ark during the time of the flood. There must have been millions and millions of them. Did they know the inside of the ark? My dear friends, they didn't know. And they perished in the flood. Yes, they didn't know. And they perished in the flood. Only Noah and his immediate families, 8 of them, my dear friends, knew what the ark was like. They knew the inside of the ark, and they were saved. My dear friends, you do not know Christ if you are not in him. You have to be in him to know him. And if you stay outside of him, you will never ever get to know him. And if you persist in staying out of him, my dear friends, you are in serious trouble, because you are heading for eternal hell if you stay outside of him. But, and so it's just like those people who perished in the flood. They were outside of the ark and they perished in the flood. But the word of God has these wonderful words for us. It says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, if you would quickly turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I read for you. You see these wonderful words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Did you read those words? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In him, my dear friends, we are not condemned. In him, we are like those who were in the ark. In Christ, you are saved. In Christ, you have everlasting life. My dear friends, in Christ, you have all eternity to know this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is infinitely great, and it will take you the whole eternity to know him. And my dear friends, even if it is the whole of eternity, you will still not know him enough. But you will have the opportunity to know him for all eternity if you are in him. It is when we are in Christ Jesus, my dear friends, that we have righteousness imputed to us, credited to us. It is when we are in him that this righteousness of his is credited to us or imputed to us. Paul says in verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. It is when we are in him, my dear friends, that we have this righteousness. And with this righteousness, then we can stand righteous before the one true living God. It is when we have this righteousness that we can have fellowship with the Lord, and that we can walk with him and get to know him. If we don't have this righteousness, not in the Lord, of course we can never get to know him. And let us never think that we have our own righteousness. Those who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ may think that they have righteousness. Yes. So you may think that you have righteousness. But what is the truth, my dear friends? The truth is, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. You might not like to hear it, but it's true. Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. You just think of the millions and millions of people who perished during the time of Noah. Only 8 were in the ark. All the rest perished. Now, among them, you think about it. Were there not those who were very outstanding in their moral uprightness? Think about that. Millions of them. Surely there were those who were looked upon as being morally upright in the eyes of men. And surely many of them were good citizens. We are talking about millions and millions of them. Surely there must be those who were moral citizens. And surely there must have been great philanthropists among them, those who were sincere, those who were religious, those who were kind, those who were good, all from the human standpoint. But they perish. Good in the eyes of men, but they perish. You see, their righteousnesses were as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. Now, if there was a man who was very religious, it was this man called Paul, who before his conversion was usually known as Saul. Yes, he had very, very powerful religious credentials, very impeccable credentials. He was a thoroughbred Jew, father Jew, mother Jew, and his parents made sure that he was religiously circumcised when he was 8 days old, so that he could be identified as a descendant of Abraham, so that he would have a place in heaven. Yes, and he was a Pharisee of the strictest sect. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee. In other words, with regards to observance of the law, nobody could match Paul. His observance of the law was practically blameless. Nobody could fault him. And in regards to his religious zeal, we read earlier on, he persecuted the Jews. Yes, persecuted the Christians, the Jewish Christians in those days. Yes. Now, any Jew with that kind of a religious credential, with that kind of religion, would say, God, you owe me a place in heaven. He could say that. Yes. But when he came face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he realized that all those things that were his religious credits, his powerful religious credentials, were in fact his losses. What was gained to him was actually losses to him. He said they were dung. And so long as he relied on them for his salvation, he realized he perished. So how could he obtain righteousness? How could this man obtain righteousness? The key is in Christ. And he realized that believing in Christ, he would have the righteousness credited to him. Yes, I want to be found in Christ, having not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. It was only with the righteousness in Christ that he could have fellowship with the Lord, as we said earlier on, so that he could walk with the Lord and know the Lord better. So friends, what are we relying on for our salvation? Are we relying on our good works? Are we relying on our righteousness? Are we relying on our good anything before the Lord? Are we relying on our baptism? Are we relying on the fact that we come from a good Christian home? My dear friends, all these things are not going to place you in good standing in the sight of God. Understand this truth. No. Yes. We must be in Christ. In Christ. We must believe in Him. We must believe that He died for us on the cross of Calvary. And we must realize that we are nothing but wretched sinners, heading for an eternal hell if we are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must realize that He shed His precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. So friends, this morning, if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, what ought you to do on the first Sunday of the year? May I urge you, my dear friends, this morning, come to the foot of the cross. Look at Jesus who hung there for you on the cross of Calvary. And then receive Him into your heart. Repent for your sins. And the moment you do so, my dear friends, you will be in the ark of salvation. The moment you did that, my dear friends, you will be in Christ. And then when you are in Him, then you are in a position to know Him. Outside of Him, you can never know Him. So the condition for knowing Him, my dear friends, is you must be in Him. Now next, my second point. Now what is meant by knowing Him? Now Paul wanted to have an intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not a case of his wanting to know the Lord Jesus Christ just superficially, intellectually. But he wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially. Now, you know, we can know a lot about Christ, sure, but we may not know Him experientially. You can know a lot about Christ by reading books about Him, right? You can know a lot about Christ by hearing about Christ. You can know a lot about Christ by reading the Bible. You can know a lot about Christ. And then after reading all this, you come to the conclusion, oh, he was a good man, a good teacher. Or you might even say this, oh, he is the Son of God. He was crucified. He was buried and he rose up from the dead. And one day he's coming back. My dear friends, this knowledge might still be just knowledge in the head. It might not be experiential knowledge. The question, the real question you must answer is this. You must address is this. Do you see Jesus dying for the whole world, or do you see Jesus dying for you personally? My dear friends, that's the question. Now, your knowledge of his death, my dear friends, must not be just general. It must be very, very personal. If your knowledge of his death for you on the cross is general, you say Christ came and died for the world, and you do not think that he died for you personally, my dear friends, you are still outside of Christ. You really do not know him. You have no part in the salvation that he offers to the world. Your knowledge of him is still just head knowledge. You do not know him in the heart. Your knowledge of him is not experiential. Sometimes we hear people talk about the doctoring skills of a particular doctor. They say, oh, he's very, very good. And then when you talk to them further, I only heard about his being good. So their knowledge of the doctors being good is just hearsay. They do not have experiential knowledge of that doctor. But what if someone were to say, oh, I know him very well, because when I was sick with this chronic disease, I saw him and he treated me, and now I'm well. I know him personally. Now, does this person know this doctor personally? Yes. He's got experiential knowledge of the doctoring skills of this doctor. My dear friends, that's the kind of knowledge that we must have of the Lord. What kind of knowledge, my dear friends, you have of the Lord when you say, I know him. I know him. What kind of knowledge? Is it head knowledge, experiential knowledge, and heart knowledge? Now, if your knowledge of him, my dear friends, does not cause any transformation in your life, I repeat, if your knowledge of him does not cause any transformation in your life, you must check up to find out what kind of knowledge you really have of him. Head knowledge or experiential knowledge? Now, if you do not have this personal experiential knowledge and heart knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, it will be very, very clearly demonstrated by the fact that you have not repented from your sins. You will not be showing fruits of righteousness. And then you will still be living as what you did before. You will still be clinging on to your old sinful habits. You will still be retaining your former worldly values. You are still the same. No change. You are still in your sin. You have not changed. No transformation has taken place. But friends, if you really know Him, you have experiential knowledge of Him, this must happen to you. You must become a new creature. The Word of God says so. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There must be a change. You cannot say, I know Him, and then there is no change in you. Friends, if you are in Him and you know Him, there must be this transformation taking place. Then, friends, if you want to grow in the faith, if you are a believer already, you know Him, you are in Him, you want to grow in the faith, and you want to live a victorious life for the Lord Jesus Christ, which is something I hope you who are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ desires very, very much. You must pursue two kinds of knowledge. Two kinds. And this is given to us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, that's the first kind of knowledge. You must know the power of His resurrection. That knowledge you must pursue. Now, the other kind of knowledge that you must pursue is the knowledge of the fellowship of His suffering. In other words, the knowledge of sharing in His suffering. So these are the two kinds of knowledge that you must seek after, you must pursue, if you want to grow in faith and you want to live victoriously for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's desire was that he might know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, to have an idea of the greatness of the power of His resurrection, we must consider the result of His resurrection. Yeah, we know the result of His resurrection, then we know the power of His resurrection. Look at the great victory of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ over death. Then you see the power of His resurrection. And this great victory is described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, which tells us how powerful, how great the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, yes, our friends, please turn to the Bible. And the members of the church, please help our friends to turn to the Bible so that they may be better informed concerning what we are saying this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Changed by what, friends? Of course, by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed by what? Of course, by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Friends, how can this happen? This can happen because of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, do you not see the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage? Absolutely powerful. By the power of His resurrection, Christ has conquered death. So that if you are in Christ, So that if you are experiencing the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, today you can look in the face of death and say to death, O death, where is your sting? And today you can look at the grave and say, O grave, where is your victory? Now the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14 verse 19 says, Because I live, you shall live also. This resurrection power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, which was of course his own resurrection power. He raised himself up from the dead. My dear friends, shall someday raise us up from the dead if we are buried in the ground, if we have passed away. Yes, and this power will cause us to put on an incorruptible body. You know what the incorruptible body is like? It is one that is not subject to wear and tear. It is not one that is subject to sickness. It is not one that is subject to aging. It is not one that is subject to death. But it will be a great, glorious body, like that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, if you are in Christ, and if you know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what you're going to experience someday. Friends, you're going to put on that great and glorious body like that of the Lord Jesus. Now, this resurrection power also gives us the living hope in Christ. This hope enables us to overcome the fear of death. So as we said earlier on, we can look at death and say, Oh death, where is thy sting? Those who have not experienced this resurrection power, many of them, my dear friends, are likely to be terrorized by the fear of death. But believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have experienced this resurrection power, can say like the great saints who had gone before them, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, they can say that. They know that when they die, their soul will go immediately to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, this soul, by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be reunited with the body that today is buried in the grave. Yes, they know that. Yes. Then some people say, death for the Christian is like a turning off the light, because night has come. Turn off the light, night has come, the Christian goes to sleep. Yes. But friends, I rather like to see death this way. It is the turning off the light at night. Turning off at the light at night, because dawn has arrived. It is like you're waking up in the morning. It is very, very dark in the morning, especially in winter. So you've got to switch on the light, right, to see things around. But very soon, you switch off the light. Now, why do you switch off the light? You switch off the light because dawn has arrived. The sunlight has broken through. You don't need that light anymore. Friends, death to a Christian is like that. Yes, death is not the last sleep. Some people say that death is the last sleep. No, my dear friends, they say that it is the last sleep because you continue to sleep. But friends, death is not the last sleep. Death is the final awakening. We do not have to sleep anymore. We are awake. Our soul goes to be with the Lord. Final awakening. And then finally our soul will be reunited with our body by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't go to sleep anymore. So it's the final awakening. Now, next, let's look at the immediate blessings we have because of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look at the blessing, the immediate blessing. Consider this truth. We have been justified because of His resurrection. Justified because of His resurrection. Romans 4:25 says, Who was delivered for our offenses? Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. He died for us. Yes, He was delivered for our offenses, for our sins, and He was raised for our justification. My dear friends, in God's sight, do you realize this? We are not only acquitted. In God's sight, we have been proclaimed righteous, justified, by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how powerful the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ is. We have been proclaimed righteous by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now today, if a prisoner is set free, all right, he's set free, he goes out, he becomes a free man, and maybe he can go anywhere he wants to go to. Not necessarily, right? We know that some people who come out of prison today, they want to go to some places they are not allowed to go to. They can't go. Take, for example, people who are guilty of pedophilia. They can't go everywhere they want to go to. But let's assume that they can go any place that they want to go to. But can that prisoner hold his head high? I say it's difficult. Virtually impossible. People are not going to employ him. As far as many people are concerned, he is just a man out of a cage. Did you realize that? He still has his criminal records. Yes, it is just that he has served his term, he's set free. But when God forgives us of our sins, you know what he does? He wipes up completely all our past crimes. We have a clean slate. As far as he's concerned, you know what he says? I remember your sins no more. That's right. I do not hold you guilty for your past sins anymore. Yes, we are like a prisoner who comes out from prison and is able to hold his head high. We don't have to look down, but we can hold our head high. Yes, all his criminal records are wiped out. He's looked upon as being clean. He's looked upon as if he has never committed any kind of offense before. And not only that, my dear friends, he is also elevated to a position that is very, very respectable in the community. Can you imagine that? Think of a prisoner who comes out from prison, no more records, criminal records, and then he's elevated into a position that is very high in society. Now, whenever I think of a person like that, I can't help but think of this great man called Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, in the previous century, was very politically active. He was very much against the apartheid policy in South Africa. He fought against the apartheid policy. And because of what he did, the South African, the apartheid policy essentially was a policy that divided the blacks from the whites. There was this racial segregation. If the school was for whites, the blacks could not go. If the hospital was for whites, the blacks could not go. In a bus, one section will be for whites, one section will be for blacks. Yes, in a theater, there will be one section for whites, one section for blacks. Or maybe the whole theater is for whites and not for blacks. And so Mandela fought against this policy. And then he was convicted of sabotage and convicted of several other criminal offenses. And then he was put in prison for, you know how long? 27 years. Think of it. Put in prison for 27 years. And in the year 1990, he was released. And not long after his release, you know something about him? He was elected to become the first freely elected president of South Africa. And today, he's an elder statesman in South Africa. 90 plus now, regarded as an elder statesman in South Africa. Of course, he's no longer the president, but regarded as the elder statesman. And the world very, very gladly accepts him as a citizen of the world. Yes, that's Nelson Mandela. And friends, that is what the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. You see, when the Lord God looks at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees us believers who are outside of Christ, see us as being in Christ, my dear friends, he sees us as being righteous. He sees us as being justified by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have put on the cloak of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now today, of course, we look very ordinary. You look at me, I look very ordinary. I look at you, you look very ordinary. I look into the mirror, I see that I'm going bald. Looking very ordinary, nothing great. But friends, you know what's the truth? The Word of God tells us that if we are in Christ, we have put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have become princes and princesses. We have got royal blood in us. We are heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day, One day, if you are in Christ, you will rule with him. You think I imagined these words? I concocted this? My dear friends, I didn't. The word of God says so. Alright, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6. Alright. And Jesus, let's read that together. And he has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We'll be priests because we'll be serving him. All those who serve him are priests. Alright? We'll be priests because we'll be serving him. And we are kings. Why are we kings? Because we rule with him, my dear friends. That is the position that we will be elevated to someday. If you have experienced the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now next, consider the next immediate blessing because of the power of his resurrection. We have the power and the strength to live victoriously. We don't need to live defeated Christian lives. We have the power and the strength to live victoriously. Friends, let us realize that this resurrection power is absolutely great power. It's more than dynamite, my dear friends. It transforms lives. And by this power, the resurrection power, we are able to reckon ourselves as being dead to sin and alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at Romans chapter 6. Look at Romans chapter 6. Please turn to Romans chapter 6, the passage we read at the beginning. Romans chapter 6. And look at verse 11. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. I read for you this verse. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now to reckon means to count or to regard. Now how can we count and how can we regard ourselves as being dead to sin and alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ and be walking in newness of life? How can we do that? Not by your strength, not by my strength, but by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, by that power we walk in newness of life. You look at Romans 6 verse 4. Okay, verse 4, I read for you. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Of course, we should walk in newness of life. But how can we do so, friends? By the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, by faith, let us appropriate this power, even the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we do not have to live defeated Christian lives, so that a defeated Christian life is a thing of the past. If in the year 2009 you have been living a defeated Christian life, it is a thing of the past. If you are willing to, by faith, appropriate this resurrection power, if you have it, my dear friends, you will be able to live victoriously for the Lord. Now, so the immediate blessings are blessings of his resurrection power are this: we are justified by his resurrection, we will be able to live victorious Christian lives if we have this power. Now, the other kind of knowledge the Apostle Paul pursued was the knowledge of the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. He desired to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we really want to know Christ, we must not only know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, we want to know Christ? Good. We must know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must not stop there, friends. We must also pursue to have the knowledge of the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, we must pursue the knowledge of sharing in his sufferings. We need to be clear about these sufferings. Now the sufferings, we can't suffer all the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. For example, his sufferings for the atoning of sins. Only Christ can suffer to atone for sins. You and I cannot do that. But there are sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ went through that we can participate in. For example, she's suffering for the good and for the blessings of other people. We can participate in that kind of sufferings. And that was the kind of suffering that the great Apostle Paul was talking about. Why did Paul suffer persecution? Why did he suffer beatings? Why did he suffer stonings? Why did he suffer imprisonments? Why did he suffer shipwrecks, sickness? And he also suffered in that he bore the burdens of caring for the church. He did all these things, of course, to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But at the same time, my dear friends, he suffered all those things for the good and the benefit of others. Just like the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ were for the good and the benefit of others. Although he suffered so much, he went through a lot. You look, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you see the whole list of his sufferings. But was he satisfied with that amount of sufferings that he went through? No. And so in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He must know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we suffer for the gospel, when we suffer for the sake of the gospel, we will know the fellowship of Christ and his sufferings. Yes? You will remember Daniel and his three friends. Yes? Particularly his three friends. They were in captivity in the land of Babylon. And they had purpose in their heart to serve the one true living God. And these three friends were elevated to high positions in the land of Babylon. But one day King Nebuchadnezzar decided to erect a nine-story golden image, a very tall golden image. And these three friends refused to bow down to that golden image because the one that person that they were bowed to, or the only one that they were bowed to, was the one true living God. And no other. Because of their refusal to bow down to this golden image, they were captured and then thrown into a fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. The fiery furnace was, of course, very fiery. It would burn up anybody immediately. But, friends, these three friends of Daniel were preserved. God preserved them. And do you know who was in fellowship with them when they were suffering in that fiery furnace? Who? You know, King Nebuchadnezzar said, Didn't we throw three persons in the fiery furnace? But I see four. And the fourth person was like the Son of God. That was what he said. The Lord Jesus Christ, in other words. Now the lesson is recorded for us to enable us to realize that when we suffer for his sake, we suffer in fellowship with him. Now we might not go through persecution, but we might suffer sickness. Isn't it true? And one day surely all of us here, everyone, will be on our deathbed. Now how may we know the fellowship of his suffering when we are in our bed of affliction? How? My dear friends, we may know the fellowship of his suffering if in our bed of affliction we bear a good testimony for him and draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ through our sufferings. In other words, we suffer for the blessings of others. If we did that, we'll be suffering in fellowship with him. As we conclude, I'd like to ask you these questions again. Are you in Christ or are you outside Christ? Now, if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't even begin to know him. If you're outside him, you cannot know him. So if you want to know him, and I urge you to know him this morning, is come and believe in him. Repent from your sins. Believe that he died for you. Believe that he shed his precious blood for you. And believe that he rose up from the dead for you personally. And the moment you did that, my dear friends, you will be in Christ. And in him, you will have his righteousness imputed on you. And only then, and only then, will you be in a position to know him. Until then, you are in no position to know him. And believers, I want to ask you, I'm talking to believers now. Do you know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this is the power that raised up the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. And someday soon, my dear friends, we will realize the full impact of this power. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, when we are like Him, we will experience the full impact of this power, the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, this is the very same power that enables us to live victorious Christian lives that count for the Lord. And this is the power that guarantees our justification so that we will be right in the sight of God. And this is the power that subdues sins in us. And this is the power that guarantees fruitfulness in our lives. If we are not fruitful, it simply means this: you have not experienced the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then do you know the fellowship of His sufferings? Now you will know and you experience the fellowship of his suffering if you suffer for Him. For what purpose? Of course, to glorify Him and also to bring spiritual blessings and spiritual benefits to others. And it is not by our strength that we are able to experience this fellowship of His sufferings. Not by our own strength. We'll fail miserably. We can only experience this fellowship of His sufferings very successfully if we have the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to pursue these two kinds of knowledge: the knowledge of the power of His resurrection and the knowledge of the fellowship of His sufferings. Yes, but the question is, how desirous are we in pursuing this knowledge? Yes, how desirous, how hard are we pursuing this knowledge? Let the great philosopher Socrates teach us how intense we should pursue this knowledge. One day, a disciple of Socrates came to Socrates and asked him this question: what is the best way to acquire knowledge? And Socrates brought his disciple to a river, and then he dumped him in the river, and he pressed his head below the river, underwater, and he was submerged in water. And this disciple of his tried very, very hard to break loose, but he could not. But finally he broke loose. And Socrates asked him, "When you felt that you were drowning, what did you desire most of all?" He said, "Air." "Air." So yes. Now if you desire knowledge as much as you desire air, you will get that knowledge. So my dear friends, let us realize that we need this knowledge. We need this knowledge, and we need it to live victoriously for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we pursue it after it, just as we need air, my dear friends, the Lord will surely grant you this knowledge. Even the knowledge of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, O Lord God, that You have put us in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we are able to know Him. And this morning we pray that You will help us, that we may have this holy desire to want to know the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of His sufferings. And we pray, O Lord God, that we may pursue it intensely. And we pray that Your Holy Spirit may guide us so that we may indeed pursue it very, very, in a very desirous manner, so that, Lord, we may be able to live lives that are pleasing to You, lives that are glorifying to You. Lord, we pray that You will be with us throughout the whole day, enable us to bring much honor and glory to You. Cleanse us of all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.